At Dixon Baptist, over the last few weeks, we have been looking at sorrow and suffering and faith. We are partnering with Renew Anglican for a month as we are looking at that topic together. And we've been looking at a couple of lament psalms, psalms of crying out to God in pain or in sorrow. So this morning, we're going to be looking at Psalm 42 and 43. Greg will be doing the reading for us. And then our friend Tim, who's visiting with us today, will be preaching for us. So thank you, Greg.
Reading this morning comes from Psalms number 42 and number 43. Psalm 42, verse 1. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is within me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by my enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. 43. Vindicate me, my God, and please my cause against an unfaithful nation. Rescue me from those who are deceitful and wicked. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by my enemy? Send me your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God.
Well, hello again, everyone. I'm Tim Williams, if you've just joined us now, and I'll be speaking to us on that reading, Psalm 42 and 43. If you've got your Bibles still there with you, maybe keep them open so you can refer to the verses as we go. Well, if you go for a drive in Canberra at the time of the daily commute, you can't help but notice that there's something missing. Traffic. The roads are silent and still, absent the normal comings and goings of people doing normal life. I still have to go into the office occasionally, and it also is very quiet, absent the banter and the coffee runs and the clicking of keyboards. There's an emptiness about the place that's kind of mournful. Maybe at some point during the pandemic, you've had to deal with a harder kind of absence. Maybe you've been separated from a loved one on the other side of a state border. I know a friend whose husband was caught on the other side of the Queensland border at the start of the current lockdown. She's not been able to join him there due to a lack of hotel quarantine places for domestic travellers. She's had no idea when she's going to be able to see him again. And that's been hard. Then there's people who've had to deal with a completely unexplained absence of a loved one. A story like this that's stuck in my mind over the years is the disappearance of Jill Maher, an ABC radio staffer who didn't come home to her husband one night. husband Tom went public to appeal for information. At one point, someone asked him how he was coping, and he said that he was going through hell. In our passage today, the author, the psalmist, is also experiencing an unexplained disappearance of a loved one. Perhaps the most difficult of all for a believer, the unexplained disappearance of God. It's fair to say that the psalmist is also going through hell. Maybe this is something you've experienced in a small way for a short time, or maybe for long and dark seasons of your life. Maybe this is your experience right now as our lockdown drags on. Where do we go for hope when we experience an absence of God? Where do we go for hope when we experience an absence of God? Our passage is made up of two Psalms, 42 and 43, but they're closely linked. And in many manuscripts in the original language, they appear as one single psalm. So I'll be treating them as a single passage today. In this passage, we hear the psalmist vividly describe the pain of God's unexplained absence. He describes it in lots of different ways, but as thirsting for God, as weeping so continuously that he can't eat, as downcast, disturbed, drowning, forgotten by God, mourning, oppressed, agony in his bones, taunted by enemies, rejected by God. He also talks about being from the heights of Hermon and Mount Mizar. These are places in the far north of Israel, about the furthest you could get from the temple and still be in Israel. This geographic distance pictures the spiritual distance that the psalm is about as far from God as you can get and still be one of his people. But in a psalm that's all about the absence of God, God is very present. Every verse is about God. And so we look to this psalm, not just to see the pain of God's absence, but to see also the hope that it has to offer. There's a verse in there that appears three times as a refrain. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. This refrain divides the passage into three stanzas, and it's a conclusion to each stanza. Three times we're presented with a problem, a downcast soul, and three times we're offered a solution, hope in God. And each stanza tells us about a place that we can find hope in God, even in the experience of his absence. In the first stanza, the place the psalmist tells us we can find hope is in remembering better times. There's hope in the place of remembering better times. Have a look at verse 4. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. The psalmist is remembering the great festivals where all Israel gathered at the temple to celebrate God's love for them. They would offer sacrifices as a reminder and a celebration that God had accepted them as his people, even though they were sinners. They would sing joyful songs and have fun being together on a happy occasion. The psalmist is remembering times when God felt close. There is a sting to going back over happy memories, though. It can make the hurt worse. And we're seeing this play out as he said when he says, these things I remember as I pour out my soul. Despite the pain, on a day when he finds himself desperately missing God, like a deer panting for water, having spent the whole night weeping, he can still come to verse 5 and say to himself, put your hope in God. The passage doesn't tell us to use our happy memories to deny reality. It doesn't tell us to pretend that life's the way it used to be and so everything's should be okay. It does show how the sadness that comes from remembering can drive us to seek God all the more fiercely. There's a cute movie from a few years ago called Inside Out, and its plot is exactly this journey. If you haven't seen it, most of the movie plays out inside the head of an 11-year-old girl, Riley. and Riley's emotions are the main characters of the movie. Riley gets depressed and runs away from home because the characters in her head, joy and sadness, accidentally get lost and stop having an influence over her. As they try to find their way back, we see that joy doesn't really like sadness and basically wishes she doesn't exist. But in the end, it's sadness that gets Riley safely home again. Because once Riley starts feeling again, she feels sad about leaving her parents and so finds her way back. Now, it's not always that easy for us. When we feel an absence of God, we might not get sad. We might get self-righteous. God's going to abandon us, we'll abandon him. Replace him with something better, something that doesn't make us sad. But in turning away from God, we end up more lost than when we started. So if we do the work, like the psalmist, to integrate our sadness into our relationship with God, it can motivate us to go deeper with him. So friends, cultivate those happy memories, even if they bring some sadness with them. So often the only times we're really paying attention to what God is or isn't doing are the hard times. But if the good times are happening now or at any time in life, if you're comforted and encouraged by a sense of God's presence, if your times of worship are meaningful, if you're discovering new things in the Bible every day, if you're seeing God do amazing things in your workplace and amongst your friends, then share your joy. Journal it. Talk about it with your friends. Let it spill over to those around you. Make the good times memorable so the memories are there for when you need them. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. After that first refrain, we go into the second stanza and can see the psalmist isn't out of the woods yet. The start of verse 6 says, my soul is downcast within me. So it tells us there's been no real change to his situation. And so he offers us another place to look for hope in God. And this is the place of heartfelt prayer. There's hope in the place of heartfelt prayer. Verse 6 continues, therefore, I will remember you. The psalmist's attention shifts from memories of happy times to thinking about God himself. He reflects that God is involved in this experience of absence. See in verse 7 how he says, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. God hasn't gone missing. This is an experience within God's control. He's still there, somewhere, somehow, which the psalmist acknowledges in verse 8. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me. If God isn't truly absent, it follows that you can still speak to him. So at the end of verse 8, the psalmist begins a prayer to the God of my life. A God, he says in verse 9, who is his rock. The psalmist here is still speaking from faith in God, even when God seems to have checked out. So taking that all into account, in verse 9, we see the beginning of a heartfelt prayer to God. He starts, dear Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. No, that's not the right prayer for this moment. Why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Raw honesty about what life is feeling like. Now, studies show that 30% of people seeing their doctor are not honest about their health and lifestyle. I won't ask you to put your hand up if you're in that 30%. But it's crazy that we would lie to the one person who needs to know about all our bad habits so they can help us. The medical benefits of telling your doctor the truth are obvious. It gives them the right information so they can make the right diagnosis and give you the right treatment. In a similar way, it's in our own interest to be honest with God. Now, we might not outright lie to him in our prayers, but it's so easy to pretend that things are okay. Just pray a few standard lines about the things we know we should pray about and keep our despair to ourselves, to shut God out of what's really going on in our hearts. He knows what's going on for us, of course. He's all-knowing. But he doesn't just want to observe it. He wants to hear from us. He wants a relationship with us. He doesn't forget us. If God had truly forgotten the psalmist, God couldn't at the same time be the psalmist's rock. This wouldn't even be a prayer. It'd just be words thrown out into empty space. Psalmist is simply telling God what it feels like. And by making this prayer a part of the Bible, God is telling us that he wants to hear prayers like this. Not so that we can vent our anger and frustration and the disappointments of life and just try to make ourselves feel better in the process, but so our intimacy with God can grow. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. The third and final stanza, what appears as Psalm 43 in our Bibles, the place the psalmist points us to for hope is the place where God dwells. There's hope in the place where God dwells. In Old Testament times, the focal point of God's relationship with his people was the temple in Jerusalem. God called it his dwelling place, his house, a place where people could come to pray to him, to worship him, and reconcile with him through offering sacrifices for their sins. This is the place the psalmist wants to be. You can see his desire in verse 3. Send me your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. This is the place where God no longer feels absent. So the psalmist's prayer now shifts. He's been honest about how hard the situation is, and now he asks God for help, help to get him back home, where he can find joy and delight again in praising God. Verse 4 shows where he wants to be. Then I'll go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. How much we miss having people come over to our homes, our dwelling places in this lockdown, to host and care for family and friends and to go to their homes for their love and care. How joyful it will be after a long absence to do that. This is what coming to the temple was like, coming to God's home in a way to receive his hospitality and love and care. The New Testament tells us that the temple the psalmist is talking about is only a shadow of a greater temple, a temple built when the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. God now dwells with his people through his Son, Jesus Christ, and Jesus dwells in us through his Spirit. That's only possible because the deepest and most painful experience of the absence of God was taken on by Jesus himself. On the cross, for us, so we don't have to go through it ourselves. Instead, we can go to Jesus, where we'll find God's love and care. If you remember the news about Jill Maher's disappearance, or I mentioned earlier, you'll know the story didn't end well. She had been murdered, and her body was found a few days later. Hope that she would return from her absence was lost. And as Jesus died on the cross, would have seen that all hope for a saviour was lost. My God, why have you forsaken me? Said Jesus as he died. But beyond human hope or imagining, Jesus returns. His resurrection assures us that through him, God has made his dwelling place with us. That when we experience God's absence, there is always, always hope of a return. In fact, he's never really gone. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. So today we've seen how Psalm 42 and 43 tells us about three places we can go to find hope in God when we experience an absence of God. A place of remembering better times, the place of heartfelt prayer, and the place where God dwells. In a way, they're three stops on a journey, beginning, middle, and ends. A journey you can go through daily, even. We set out with a desire to be close to God again, based on our memories. We ask Him for the strength to sustain us on the way back through heartfelt prayer. And we find Him. Because if we trust in Jesus' work on the cross, we know that God can never be truly absent. Friends, may we all be on our way to those places in these difficult times. Back to Matt.
Thanks, Tim. How great to hear about the hope that we do have in Jesus, the one who's never going to leave us and never will forsake us, and who went through that abandonment for us. I want to finish our worship just by reading that last verse of Psalm 43. Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Saviour and my